good?
Yep, you are.
Can you take a roll call, please?
Yeah, sure. Chair Chris Gantz.
Here.
John Burr.
Present.
Robin Schombach.
Here.
Bill Viner. Absent. Eric Barrett.
Present.
Fred Ronstadt.
Here.
Michael Becker.
Here.
All right, we have both Faye Tom and Rick Gonzalez here for both projects as the design professional.
Great, thank you. First on the agenda is the second on the agenda is approval of legal action report of October 24th, 2019 meeting. Any feedback, corrections?
Anybody? I think Robin asked if they were amendments and that I concurred for the four items of our recommendation, but the net effect is the same, so it's fine.
The only thing I would see, okay, item L, it says southern will be raised to 6 feet, southern wall would be a correction, the wall.
Oh, I should say the southern
wall. Southern wall,
yeah.
Okay. Got it.
I see, instead of will, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Got it.
If there are no other corrections, is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve is presented with corrections.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Next on the agenda, it's a study session for IID 1806375 South Stone, which is T19SA00338 and DP19-0144. First on the agenda is preliminary staff remarks.
Yeah, so this is the proposed development of the new four-story mixed-use building at the southwest corner of Stone Avenue and 14th Street. The proposal includes 28 one- and two-bedroom condominiums and a relocated Casa Vicente restaurant, a parking lot, and two rehabilitated historic structures. The applicant has also requested a rezoning to change the HC3 portion of the site to C3. The rezoning application is currently under review. If approved, the entire site will be zoned in C3. And as an IID project, they're requesting relief from motor vehicle parking, which they also received an approved individual parking plan for, street perimeter yard reduction, solid waste collection, and a reduction of landscape and screening requirements. We have received a recommendation from the design professional as an approval. We have Rick Gonzalez here to comment if he so chooses.
Nick, I'd like to make note that Bill Viner is here.
Thank you.
Yes, in my initial review with the applicant, I looked at the possibility that perhaps it was a little too historical looking. And then the response was that the submittal applied new applications in respect to historic applications. So I found that answer acceptable. If you notice that on the drawings, there's a lot of corbels, doors, balcony railings, guardrails, so forth that look very historic, but are defined in a different way. And that was the explanation given by the applicant that was acceptable, I think. I also was concerned about the building, the first two levels corresponding to pedestrian. Since the building's only four stories high, that may not be a concern. The first story, based with arch openings, and the three above stories are repetitive, but because of the height of the building, I think that's appropriate. I asked for some examples that they might have around here that they thought would fall into that. And they mentioned that similar approaches have been done throughout Tucson for the lower story buildings and in other urban areas, respect to like Lewis Sullivan. The articulation on the second floor to the first floor and not the floors above it. Renderings of the building are out of proportion and too big. While that's not really true in this case, it seems to replicate other examples of buildings in the block area. So I found that an acceptable explanation. I was concerned that maybe the front door wasn't articulated enough to indicate entry. The response from the applicant was that due to the fact that the entries are raised 24 inches above the street due to flooding concerns, that they would in fact provide signage, exterior lighting at the entryway associated with the stairs on the north and west elevations. Signage is being considered by the team. They may use an electrically lit sign or painted sign on the building, similar to what's in the Mercado and the Exo Roasters on 6th Avenue. I would think those would be acceptable. I asked for a composite color rendering, so I don't know if that was provided or not.
It was.
Do we have?
Do you include it in your new slides, Bill?
Yep.
So we'll get that.
Back.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Thanks, Bill.
Yep.
I'm concerned that the parking be screened. I believe that was taken care of with landscaping, particularly along Stone Avenue parking area. I had a concern about the layout of the utilities. It says they were shown on the revised G27. It's like pretty much everything that I was asking for was taken care of. Did you have anything else to add, Bill, or?
No, that sounds good. Let's call it a day.
So those are my observations, and they've responded to my concerns, so I recommend approval.
Today is a study session, so we will not be taking a vote on this. Next on the agenda is project presentation by applicant. Bill?
Sure. So I can run through these quickly. I know you have. Do you mind if I?
Do you want to scroll or do you want to?
You can also touch the screen.
Touch the screen.
That's not a good idea. whatever's easier.
Yeah, just take them out.
And just to inform everybody, they had a review at Plans Review Subcommittee yesterday. Both for the rezoning piece and as a review of the building itself. Both items were continued to the November 14th meeting.
So this is a mildly complicated project in that, as you can see on the assessor's record map, there's three parcels. And there's some existing structures on that. This is all the neighborhood stuff. This is a sensitive mess.
Yes.
So this right here is Brady Court, and that's a historic structure, and that's an HC zone. Right here is an adobe structure that was an accessory structure to housing that used to be on this site way back in the day. It's in a C3 zone. And the parking lot of Casa Vicente is in a C3 zone. Casa Vicente restaurant has been since torn down within the past few months. And so the idea is to keep this HC3 zoning around Brady and then turn this L shape into primarily C3 because there's like a 20-foot at one point and 11 feet at the other point spur going through the site that is H zone, which is more or less undevelopable. And so we've been working on the idea of this four-story building with 28 units and a restaurant and some office space on the property. And with the IID, you know, without this spur, the C3 allows a 75-foot high structure. It allows the use, all that stuff. The IID issues that we're looking at per, I think what Chris talked about, or somebody talked about, the setbacks, motor vehicle parking, Nick talked about, and the street landscape and the trash. And so here's the project with the landscape plan. So we're going to be setting the new four-story building, 20 feet minimum and more up here from the existing Brady Court, with a pedestrian corridor in between the two buildings, heavily landscaped to provide not only shielding for the existing one-story Brady Court bungalows, which are 8 apartments, but also to provide a nice transition from the four-story down to the one-story, or a softer transition. 51-space parking lot, utilizing the adobe structure as parking, which it was in the 1920s. The pedestrian, or the unit entrances on the first floor will be along this pedestrian corridor. The unit entrances for the floors 2 through 4 will be along the south side of the building underneath an arcade located right here. The entrance to the restaurant will be into a covered patio, either from 14th or from Stone. There is water going through this site, and we need to have the first floor about 24 inches minimum above grade. It's a clear picture of the parking and the units. Here it is with the property lines. Here's your basic ground floor plan, showing unit sizes, 2-bedroom units on the ground floor, ranging from 900 to 1100, and then the restaurant, which is about 2700 with a basement cellar, party space, and then covered parking, or covered dining at the corner of Stone and 14th to activate the corner, make it all urban. The upper level floor plans are identical, floors 2 through 4. We have 2-bedroom units facing the west, 1-bedroom units facing the east. They're generously sized. They're 954 1-bedroom units and 1,400 down to 1,275 2-bedroom units. These are all condos. They will be for sale project someday in the future. Here's the north elevation, so Stone Avenue is running right at you, and we're on 14th. The restaurant with arcade is at the base, and then you see the residential occurring elsewhere. There's balconies sticking out on the east and the west faces, wrought iron fence, and the new masonry fence in front of Brady Court. And then Brady Court as it exists, just an idea of on the opening sizes. They're also generously sized, which is kind of based on a lot of what is existing. And I threw this in too, just for more context. The Curcio project at 6th and 14th is just across Russell Avenue from Brady Court, so you can see how it all relates. South elevation, so this is from the parking lot. And this is the colored in archway is where the residents will enter the building. East elevation, so this is what's facing Brady Court. And the west elevation, which is facing Stone. Roof terrace. There will be an occupied roof terrace, about 1,800 square feet on the west side. Call Miramonte to get some seats for the fireworks section. The streetscape design showing the shading the sidewalk with the landscape trees, and then also the shading on the south and the west sides of the building, and talking about the pedestrian scale and the openings every some feet. Here's a rendering. And so it's a old box, which is very reminiscent of Tucson, downtown Tucson, early 20th century. You have a box and you put some small details here and there, the wrought iron, the corbels, the color, the cornice, the windows. And so this you know, the stucco is going to be more or less white, and then there will be the color added to the elements that are at the balconies and in between the windows. And this is a great bird's eye of Tucson and showing what it is and what it's going to be or what has even happened. So Stone Avenue is going right diagonally from the upper left to the lower right. And you can see Arizona Theater Company kind of in the middle. And so north of that is the three-story apartment. North of that is going to be the six-story hotel. South of that will be the four-story Casa Vicente. And then immediately south of that is the downtown Motor Lodge, which is another four-story building. And then even further south. So you see this kind of pretty much anchors the development that's occurring south along Stone via the IID. At some point, this was thought of as being part of AH, and currently it's not. But this is just to give you an idea of what this development zone would be if we were reviewing this as a historic project. And this is also informative to show you how it fits within the building heights. So this area is Barrio Historico or Barrio Libre. Here's the tooth with the missing teeth of Armory Park along the east side, and our site is right there, shaded in red. And so we're proposing about a 61-foot building. Across the street is the police station at 55. A couple properties up is the Arizona Theater Company at 66. The Casillo opposite Brady Court is 47. And Academy Lofts at 52. So it just, from that alone, it doesn't seem as if this building's too out of place as far as height goes and mass goes with the existing context. This is the Adobe structure. Parking, the ITP has been approved, and this was a document that showed the number of parking that's available in the area that is not metered or require a sticker. And so there's over 260 spaces within a two-block walking distance from the space. We're parking half of the site, half of the requirements. I think the UDC is saying 92 or so, and we have like 51 or 100, and we have 51. So we're providing a parking space for every residential unit, and then an additional for the restaurant. And here's the funkiness. So the red line is the H, and so we're trying to remove that spur right there. And then I admit the mouse, sorry, but there's some stuff back here that you should see. So this is the area. So here, the bottom picture is looking at the site from the police station. And here's the site looking at it from Scott to the west. And you can see the little numbers here to help you orient yourself. Here's walking up Stone, and then this is walking along 14th, so the building would be on the right-hand side in all those pictures. And then this is looking at the site from across Stone. So it'll fill in the area from the palm tree to the corner. And then here's some pictures of some of the context along Stone, the historic contributing and non-contributing structures. Here's the Clifton development. Arizona Theater Company, labor title. And these are all within the development zone. And then these are the buildings, this page and I think the second next page are the buildings that kind of inspired the design. You know, these are kind of your mid-20th, early 20th century Tucson buildings, the MacArthur Building, the building located at 4th and Broadway, and then the building located just across the street from us at 343 South Scott, of just kind of these nice block buildings with minimal detail added to the openings and the windows and the cornice. And here's some more, the great building at South Scott, the Udall Center, and then all these are added, the other three are added because of the archways that were employed at this building for the restaurant entry, as well as the unit entry on the south side of the building, using the arch as kind of as a focal. And that's it. Any questions?
It's open to questions.
Do you want staff before questions?
Well, staff.
We did it already.
We did staff at the beginning. Do you have any other comments, either from staff or design professional?
Well, I think he's illustrated what I was trying to say earlier, so I felt confident that it's okay to approve it.
I have two. Rick talked about the concern about it being kind of too historical, and the response was that it was a more contemporary interpretation. Could you just talk about that a little bit more?
Well, I didn't know.
And I may have misphrased that.
Right.
Just if you could speak to that idea.
There's metal-clad windows. There's metal-clad sliding doors. There's not wood corbels being employed. The wrought iron isn't going to be handmade wrought iron, more than likely. So there's definitely 21st century technology occurring at the building that will, to the keen observer, say this is not a historic building. Plus, this isn't a copy of anything. This is a building that employs things that have been used for centuries as means to decorate and to make architecture look beautiful. It's for the pedestrian, for the community. And I think this is a valid approach for downtown Tucson as the community, you know, what they believe in is what exists as downtown Tucson. And I think that's proven in the pictures that I showed of the other downtown projects, these nice boxes that have minimal decoration, but a little bit of it. I could have come up with a modern like design for the corbel or something like that, but why bother? To be honest, I mean, at what point do you draw the line?
Thank you. My other question, if I can just do my second one, is if I'm understanding the grading correctly, the entrances for the residences are basically at grade, and the difference is on the stone size.
It's nasty.
So my question about that, if I in fact understand that, is that then accessibility to the restaurant is, could you just explain that?
There's a ramp to get up to the covered patio along stone.
Okay.
And stairs. So there's a stair and ramp situation along stone, and then there's just stairs at 14th.
So the route from the parking lot, the accessible
would
spaces
be,
is out to stone and then up the ramp?
Get onto stone and get up.
I don't understand the breadth of the technical challenges there, just not having spent any time looking at that aspect of it. My only comment about it is that it would be great if there was a way that those utilizing the requiring that kind of route, that it was a more direct and sort of universal solution. I don't know if the tightness of the site allows that at all.
Well, I'm not sure I understand, because if anybody that's handicapped that needs an accessible space is going to park here, and the restaurant's here, and the entrance from the parking lot would be here anyway.
For both?
Yeah. If you were walking, or if you were in a wheelchair, or if you were blind, you would use the same path.
It's the same route.
The same exact path.
Right.
Unless you wanted to, I don't think we'll have people walking through there. So.
But those spaces are the same for whether you're a resident or a guest to any of the spaces, or the restaurant or anything.
Those are designated for the restaurant.
They are, okay. Would it be possible or appropriate to just have them closer to that ramp?
Because of the grading, we can't do that.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, question.
I'll just go ahead and comment since it's on the record. I think this is probably my 20th meeting on this plan over the last 9 months. And it was more problematic initially because it was not proposed to rezone the parcel out of H, which would probably require a much lower height and compliance with H standards. For the record, the rezoning did have the required neighborhood meeting, and the Armory Park Historic Zone Advisory Board reviewed it on October 1st. And its recommendations, which I will still keep going for, and I'm very happy that Bill and team are on board with this, is that there's a protection for the heavily modified but circa 19 or 1890s historic auto parking building. Brady Court is pretty much integrated, and the details are historically compatible. So I think, the final language we heard at the zoning examiner hearing on December 5th, to my knowledge. I'm anxious to see what plans reviewed as for the modification of the language. There seems to be a direction that plans review will also have the ability to review any changes to Adobe structure in the future. Otherwise, I'm not terribly concerned with it. I think it's an appropriate building, reasonably scaled for the area. It's generally liked within the neighborhood, provided that the rezoning does indeed take place, so that will be a condition. There's only one other thing I'd like to go on record. We worked for a long time on the Five Points pedestrian lighting plan, and actually earlier with the Scott Avenue revitalization plan, and there are two stub outs that have been placed on the sidewalk to the north to receive two four-glow reconditioned fixtures that are waiting to go in, and I want those put in with the sidewalk improvements on the north. But otherwise, finally.
Just related to the parking, is any of the parking going to be restricted for the restaurant or for the residences?
There will be some sort of signage that will be designating what's available for restaurant versus residential.
And you know the breakdown?
There's 28 units plus 8 at Brady Court, so that's 36 parking spaces allocated for the residential. One space per
so
unit.
So those will all be signed and restricted?
Correct.
And then the 13 or whatever it is will be available for the restaurant only.
Right.
And the handicap spaces, are they available for the restaurant or the residences?
For the restaurant at now, but we can look at making it, at least for sure this one could end up becoming a handicap space for the residential.
Okay. Thank you.
Brady Court, all those units are internal to the opening to the court?
Yeah, so Brady Court was remodeled or rehabilitated 2 or 3 years ago. We dubbed Dube Acquisitions owns the entire property. Now it's the architect for that project, and that got historic tax credits and all that jazz. We did a big scale renovation of 8 units, and they're really sweet. They have covered porches and entries on the courtyard side.
And refresh my memory, you're planning on coming back with final revisions to the Adobe structure, correct?
Yeah,
which is basically a change of garage doors.
We're we're getting rid of everything that was added to the building. And just adding some garage doors in between the columns along, this is the elevation along Russell, and this is the elevation that faces the Brady Court. We have to do some fire protection because it's on the property line. It never has been fire protected, and a couple other things, but we're just leaving the adobe and the roof finish and the roof structure as it is. It's all fine. Touch less is our approach on that.
One thing, I look at your design and I kind of see this kind of some Northern New Orleans feel to it. And it's
that's
not
a good
bad,
term.
That's not a bad look. I just thought, well, okay. Any other questions?
Yes. Along the stone, is that those overhead power lines correct along the street?
Unfortunately. Yeah, so that's been another discussion that I didn't want to bore you guys with, but there is a power pole, you can faintly see it right there, that's getting moved a little bit to the north, and it'll become a new termination line because we need to provide access for the fire department to this building because it's over 30 feet tall. And then there's some power poles here that will actually get switched out to be vertical with cantilevered wires to the north so that we can place the building closer to 14th than previously
on. It's on that note, it's more about the shade study and trying to provide shade trees underneath power lines and that conflict and how you're going to...
Yeah, the power line on stone, which I think is right here right now, will be moved to here.
Okay. So you still got to provide the shade?
Not yep. Your phone.
Can you talk a little bit how you're looking to, or can you look at where you're preparing this, how you're going to engage the streetscape and the pedestrian experience with that?
Well, it's really the restaurant here with the arcade that's a covered patio. So this is an open air with people hopefully sitting there eating. And then, you know, there'll be some signage and the stairs and landscaping. So that's the big move.
Okay. Are you looking to do any type of sustainable practices, solar, water harvesting?
It has not been discussed at this point.
Things are considered.
All the mechanicals roof mounted?
Correct.
And the lighting from the parking to the restaurant or the entrance to the... Is it wall sconces? How are you
not designed
it?
Yet.
Oh, I'm sure they'll bring that back to us. Any other questions?
Correct me if I'm wrong, all the first floor doors are wood multi-panes, and then the sliders are metal. It's a little hard to determine, but it looked like they were wood.
I think that's what I
wood heard. French doors all around the front first floor.
Yeah, the sliders are really the upper levels.
They're getting by the balconies.
Command the, you know, western sun to come into the unit.
But the visible doors.
Yep.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you all.
We'll see you next
week. Look forward to next time.
Let's go.
Before we get into our next question, anybody need a short break? I'm just asking if anybody needs one.
Sorry, if I just
yeah,
this
out. Sure. Yeah, but we may need to take one in the
middle of it. Thank you.
I need to get back on my screen here.
I'm sorry?
I need to get back on to the different text. I'm not sure how this is.
Oh,
I'll
help you.
Oh, that's
yeah, it's an old
draft. That's why they keep on the right project, so.
Thank you.
I'm not afraid of touchscreen now after class. Seasoned veteran.
For item four.
Ready to go. Roll call, please.
Chris Gantz.
Present.
John Burr.
Present.
Robin Schombach.
Present.
Bill Viner.
Here.
Eric Barrett.
Present.
Fred Ronstadt.
Here.
Michael Becker.
Here.
And Faye Tom.
Here.
All right. Okay, first on the agenda, I'd like to ask committee members if they're open to moving call the audience before we hear this presentation. There may be some comments from the public that would be important to hear. And so, are you open to hearing that? Moving the agenda to do that?
I'm okay with it.
Would you like to hear from the applicant first, or
no,
the
think,
audience?
Well,
is this the new presentation? Is it not? Is that correct?
This is a presentation, right? It's not a Hertz review. So.
No, that wasn't what I was asking. It's just that it's an updated presentation that we received last night. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes. So we prefer to see the presentation first. The updated presentation, or
it might be appropriate if it's updated since we've all seen the last one to see that. I'm just suggesting, I'm not
okay.
Dictating,
just to clarify, so we said a week ago, and then we over the last week we made some revisions which we received last night. I also have a hard copy for each of you if you'd like to refer to it as we're presenting, but sequentially, your call, please.
Well, I'd say we'll see the revised, and then we'll go to call the audience after that before we go into other.
That might answer some questions.
Okay.
Seems
okay, on the agenda is PAD 33, Partners on 4th, T19SA00242, DP19-0125. And we're going to start with the updated review, and then if we need staff comments on that before we go to call the audience, we'll do that.
Okay.
You're on me.
Curveball, I thought. You're going to tee me off. All right. So, good afternoon. It's wonderful to see you all again. We were here 3 weeks ago. It seems like just about 4 hours ago, as busy as we've been. So, as we just talked about, we met, we got some great feedback in our previous presentation, which was the courtesy review. We took all that into consideration, made some revisions to the plan. And then in reflecting on some feedback, we had a chance to speak to a couple of you over the last week and continue to make some additional improvements, which we're going to share with you today. We have the presentation here on screen. Can we drop those lights again? Didn't we do that last time? That was very helpful.
May I have one of this?
Yeah, and I'm going to actually pass to anyone that would like a copy. I have a copy for them.
It's nice to see it big instead of my printer.
Right. Let me just come around. I've got an entire ream of paper here if we need it. Oh, so maybe the backlight. I mean,
maybe good, yeah.
So nobody falls asleep. Or something. So this is in this. You're okay. That's all. That's great. I've got a few points. Yeah, that sounds perfect. Thank you. So, reflecting back, I was talking. Sorry, Fred. Pardon?
Do you introduce?
Of course, yes. My name is Dean Nguyen. I'm representing the Opus Group of Companies. I'm based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we have offices in Phoenix and other cities around the country. With me today, Ben Angelo, Anthony Davidson, and Brett Hopper from our offices in Phoenix and Chicago. We was reflecting back, it was about a year ago that we started this process, and we had our first meetings, I think, with Corn U and Steve and Tom and I, and we sat in that small conference room and started to talk about what this project would become. And through several meetings with planning, continued to refine our massing and lining it with the PAD, and starting to refine architecture and create architecture. And what we're seeing today is a culmination of all those efforts. We've met with Historic, we've gotten feedback from those folks, and as obviously we shared with you 3 weeks ago, we had a chance to see Robin separately. She was getting ready for a presentation, and so we had a chance to chat with her, and then we met later in the day with all of you, and got some great feedback. And so today, what we're going to be looking at is a culmination of all those comments, us reflecting back on how we can make the project better, and so I'll just kind of jump into it, and then we'll the dialogue going. So what you're looking at on this page here, which is the first page inside the table of contents, are the comments that we heard and how we responded to them, and then what page they're on in the presentation. And if I may, I'll just overview these. So we talked about shade on the amenity deck and how we're handling shade. We talked about having a shadow study and seeing the influence on the neighborhood. We have that in our presentation today. Studying the design of the tower architecture and how we refine the architecture. Obviously, you know, this is a building with a lot of mass and a lot of articulation, but how do we refine the architecture? So we'll talk about that. How's the glazing handle on the stair? We've made a revision to that tower, and we'll show you that. Faye, your comment, eyes on the street. This really reflects back on Stevens, and we'll show you that. I'm really excited about what we've been able to do and the challenges that you gave us to make Stevens better. And so we'll look at that. Protect the pedestrians in the vehicular areas, having some bollards along the parking lot adjacent to our pedestrian easement. Activate the streetscape, and we'll talk about that. And that all has to do with Stevens and other spaces. The sun's influence on glazing, how we've modified the architecture. Open area on the second level, above our jewel wall, there was an open slot, and so we've introduced some mesh there to share with you. Historic detail storefront reference, and we had that partially, but we wrapped that around the corner. We'll show you that. Community drinking fountain, which has been a conversation we've talked about. We actually have a spec that we can share with you, and you'll see in the package. Just talking about the parking count and the metrics, making sure that they're reflected accurately. Shield the parking light in the parking lot, and then lastly, it was a conversation about rainwater. So we'll get into all that. If I may, I'll just kind of run through this, and again, let's keep it interactive. If there are comments, okay. So as I mentioned last time, we spent quite a bit of time just immersing ourselves in the neighborhood and finding inspiration in what is the unique aspects of Fourth Avenue, the culture, the art, the how these people and buildings use the street, and how can we be part of that. We are the gateway to Fourth Avenue at the south end. Just as you come up under the overpass, it's our site. And that's reflected in that first rendering that you saw. We spent some time talking about the minor amendments, so we can go into that a little bit deeper, but essentially, as we know, when a PAD is created, it really doesn't reflect the program that is contemplated for the project. It really starts to set some guidelines from a zoning standpoint and a use standpoint. And as we refined the design, we found there were some minor adjustments we needed to make to the PAD, which is allowed within the PAD, and we feel like they're betterments to the project. And again, we can cover those as we go through the project. Any questions you might have? You're familiar with this, you know the site, you know where we live in the community as an overall site, a very unique shaped site, and how do we get that to work with the uses and being respectful of Fourth Avenue. Some context. I'm going to run through and please, if I'm going too fast, just slow me down because I really want to get into the design, but context is important, right? Who are our neighbors? What do they look like? How do they inspire architecture? Contextually, how do we fit into this neighborhood? Existing conditions. I mean, one of the things that we'll spend quite a bit of time talking about today is Stevens and this existing non-contributing historic building, and how do we honor that building and really activate that streetscape. I think that was our greatest takeaway from our conversation last time, and I'm excited to share with you what we've come up with.
We have one level of below-grade parking on the north half of the site that's accessed through an on-ramp parking structure that is accessed from Stevens and from what's left of Herbert, the north half of Herbert. So let's spend a couple minutes on this plan, because I think this reflects some of the comments that we heard. Starting with 4th Avenue and our east entrance to the project. The PAD contemplated full maneuvers at this intersection or this access to the site, and through conversations with you all, we determined that maybe not the best way to have a really activated streetscape with people and then having these cars make all these full maneuvers. So it made sense to us to modify that and to suggest that there's only right in and right out at this location. And we feel that that will be an appropriate maneuver and also allow flexibility so that we're not burdening any one entrance or access to the site. Additionally, we've got bollards that we've introduced, and I have some cut sheets on this to just suggest a type. Bollards in between the trees. So think of the tree trunk someday being a bollard in a landscape form, but they're 30 feet apart, so how do we make sure that we're protecting that pedestrian corridor that runs east-west? Well, these bollards will be set mid-bay of each of those trees and really help. Again, that's feedback that we received at this meeting. So they run along here because there are all these cars coming out of this restaurant that'll back into this space because this is a double-loaded and then single-loaded parking. So then our entrance is here in the crux of the elbow for our residents. And let me back up a second. The front half of this building is really, let's say, the public part of this building. It's the public parking at 32 spaces. It's our four retail suites that we have, totaling around 4,400 square feet. And we'll get into the architecture on those in a moment. But what's really important and what the PAD contemplated was taking the east half of this building and from a scale and massing standpoint have a direct relationship to its context. One and two story buildings, and that's what we've done here. As the building moves back on the site, it gets taller and taller and allows the density on the site that provides needed housing to the community, but also to make the rest of the project work. I mean, from a financial standpoint, right? So that is how we organize the site. The center of this building really is the heartbeat of the building. If you think about pedestrians moving in from here, Stevens acts as our, let's say, back of house in this zone. This is where our transformers are being relocated. If you remember, there's utilities that are running down the street here in a north-south direction connecting this transformer location switchgear to here. And what we're doing is we're rerouting the power around the site and bringing it to this location. These will serve our project. These will serve others. So we've concentrated our move-in, move-out, and our trash pickup at this location. And then as we move along Stevens, we pushed the building back off the site, and based on the feedback we received in this meeting, we've improved Stevens, and I have some images that we'll look at in more detail here, but we introduced landscaping. One of the things that was kind of the aha moment for us is that we always saw this as kind of a, let's say, a vehicular-only back road, and the reality is it's a great pedestrian corridor that moves people efficiently from the southeast to the northwest. And so we want to celebrate that. We want to protect the pedestrian and provide some shade for the pedestrian because of its orientation. So we'll talk about that. And then lastly, back to Faye's comment, eyes on the street. We've reorganized some of these elements here so we could take those windows that are in this historic building and say, not that they are the same windows, but they are putting eyes on the street by putting glazing there along that fenestration. So we've got our backup house for our management team have their break room and space back here that looks out on the street. We have our bike room that has glazing. And then in this area where you see the gray, we've introduced the art wall that we've talked about, the importance of bringing the history of this area to the streetscape and figuring out a way to share what we understand as the history, but also let the community impact this space as well. We'll talk about that. Another move that we've made, I mentioned the trees. We've pulled the sidewalk up against the building, and this is one location where the roll-down curb widens, and we've introduced landscaping into that space. We didn't have that before. We've adjusted the entrance to the parking off of Stevens just to improve. We think the line of sight when people are leaving gives a better stopping point for pedestrians, so that when you're here, you can see someone walking up the street. And so we like that move as well. And then lastly, what we've done is we've improved the pinch points that we had both in this northwest corner and at the bend here to provide that needed sidewalk. The PAD calls for 6 feet. We have 6 feet or better. We're slightly under 6 feet at this one corner, but by pulling the building back and just exposing the column, we've maximized the space that we have available. And then as you move around the site, as we talked about, there are parallel parking spaces on the north side of the site. We've identified 3 spaces. We're working with the city to purchase those so that can be our rideshare location, so that anybody that is coming to this location knows exactly where to go and the cars know exactly where to go, and we're not adding congestion to this location here. Our second level is 2 stories at the retail. This is open space, and the rest of it is a parking deck. So let's say at 22 feet, we have this plate that is really residential-only parking. And we'll show you that in elevation. As we move into the tower, this is the largest plate on the building. It has, if we talk about that there's only a 30-foot max height here along the street, as we move through the building, you can see these marks here that reference the cascading step-backs that are allowed in the design. These green spaces represent our amenity spaces, and the outdoor space is part of our amenity as well. One of the comments we received was that let's provide some shading here. It really could use, while the building might provide some shading through the, let's say, the latter part of the day, but in the early part of the day, it's really still going to be in sun because the tower is further back on the site. So we've introduced shading here, and you'll see that in our updated renderings. And then, of course, down here where the chaises are and the pool is, there'll probably be umbrellas and things there as well. So some shading elements, both movable and fixed, on this amenity deck. This is our core through the building. This carries you up all the way through the building. It's located here because this is where the building from here back is allowed to be at its tallest height. 160 feet was the maximum height. We're at about 140 feet. Just our tower plate, as you can see, things are starting to step back. You can see the shade structure here that we've integrated into this wood-like structure. Robin, you remember when we chatted about this, you're like, hey, real wood could be a problem. We think that's really going to be a wood look now based on that. And that really is true with all of our canopy elements as well. So we're tying in this wood tone look to our building, which has a pretty modern expression. You see how the building's stepping back. This is our tallest part of the building. This diagram is really intended to show alignment with the PAD, but also from a, let's say, a composition standpoint, how is our building organized? What are the elements of the building and how do they work with each other? Starting with the streetscape along 4th, really paying homage to the historic nature of 4th Avenue, and taking cues from even across the street at the bookstore and other buildings along the street, and having a rich architecturally brick detail facade with canopy, blade signs, tension cables holding up the canopy, recessed retail glazing with a water table or a wainscot across the bottom to more reflective of history, and then actually in these roll-up doors, taking that bottom register and also making it solid so that it really ties all together. That's that green form here. This is, let's say, for lack of a term, smashed into the building. And then this gray band runs around the whole building, this datum, if you will, at the 3rd level that really sets up the tower elements. These gray forms are the only element that goes ground to sky and interrupt that topography. And then lastly, these white cubes that are a combination, that really are basically our residential units. And we refine that architecture in that as well. We'll share that with you in a moment. Here are the heights that we talked about in the PAD. And then lastly, as the pedestrian, as you're moving towards the entrance, what we've done here, here's the resident, the retail of public parking through here. And then we have what we think will be an enhanced a mesh, a metal architecture or art that will be in these 2 bays here that screen the parking but also add interest. And here's where the drinking fountain will be for pedestrians and pets. and a water bottle fill station. So really three uses out of one drinking fountain location. We thought, as we looked at different places, I think we originally contemplated it being here, but we like this location because of its proximity to 4th Avenue and the connection to the retail. Lastly, at the base, we saw this before, and we're really excited about this jewel expression. This is a burnished block that has a combination of voids in it and also, let's say, solid glass block jewels, if you will, in different colors so that at night they glow and add art to the streetscape, and then during the day, the light penetrates through and brings those colors into the garage itself. Here's our material board, and so we're referencing it off of the two renderings that we have, and these have been updated to reflect our architecture. We'll look at these in more detail, but essentially, these are what you saw before, the difference being that we've added the wire mesh at this location. This would be what would be in this second floor register that would, so that somebody couldn't climb this wall and actually go into our garage. Safety first on that. And then the other, I'd say the other big move, and we'll see it a little bit more, is that we made a modification to this tower element. We contemplated that being a glazed unit, and then after talking to the team here and in our office, realizing that at 140 feet, if that was something that was glowing, it actually would create light pollution back into the community, into the neighborhood, because everything across the street, and as you get back into Iron Horse, it is all quite low scale. And so we decided to just be thematic with our three stair towers and make them all the same in this artistic ethos expression. Now I'll share with you some ideas on that here in a moment. This very moment, right now. Okay, here it is. So this is the ethos that we're talking about. These are just ideas. So there's obviously some work to do here to refine the ethos. And what we're saying is that there's a pattern that runs up the building. In the elevations that you see, it's more organic here, maybe more geometric. And so we'll work to refine that as we develop the and refine the overall building design. Moving to the right, the water station that we talked about. So puppies, people, and then bottles. This bollard, while it might not be this exact bollard, the idea that there's a bollard at a, let's say, a pedestrian scale that protects that corridor that we talked about so pedestrians don't get backed into. There are bike racks. There are 75 bike racks in the, let's say, the north half of the site on the east side of the building. And so these, while they're not, again, not bike racks we're using, there are bike racks outside for the public. There's some comments and questions about the bike racks for our residents, our long-term residential bike parking. And we've done this on projects around the country, is to in a more urban solution, is to hang these bikes in a staggered rack. It just provides more efficiency and allows us to use the space for, let's say, bike servicing the bikes. And so we're showing this as our detail. There are some residents that might have a car and a bike, and in the basement level, we have the ability to put some racks on down there. Now, they are not the required bike racks, the 374 that are required, but these are another option for our residents just to provide another amenity for those folks. And then lastly, on the lower right, we've talked about the glazing. There, we have a combination of solutions to screen the glass. Some places we're using eyebrows, the balconies themselves provide shade, and then additionally, the other windows would have a solar screen on it to knock down the sun so people aren't putting aluminum foil on the windows when it's too hot in their space, which seems counterintuitive. Elevations. So here we are on the east side of the building. One of the things that we had done based on the feedback we had, and Robin, you were really instrumental in challenging us here, was to refine this architecture. And so what we've done here is taken these cubes and we've introduced, while on one facade they are a solid color, when you turn the corner and if you look to the right, you can see the band that comes along. So think about this as a cube, and then there's this wrap over top of it. And that's what we're doing with these different forms. Additionally, here's where I talked about this glazing element that we've turned into. All stair towers will now behave the same way in having this artistic ethos articulation. This is the retail along the street, and you can see the amenity deck above with some landscaping up at the top. As you move along the pedestrian corridor, here's our retail with the retractable doors, and you can see the lower register has this retail historic reference. And then along here is an artistic mess. Think of this as an artist taking a rusting steel and creating art in it. And so these two bays will, again, have light coming out of the public parking garage to add interest to this arcade, but then also to allow light into the garage so that it's just not a dark, think about public parking, you don't want this dark box that you're inside from a safety standpoint. So we want to bring light into that space. And then our entrance here to the residential. Here are the great towers that are coming down to the ground, and then this this jewel-laced masonry wall that wraps around the project. At the northeast corner, one of these great towers, we have a landscape element, a green wall, that we're introducing, let's say, a cable system on the wall, and then growings will come up. This is a fairly narrow planter because this is where we have our public bike parking at that location. And so that is a way to take that base of that building and add some color and some nature, if you will, to that space. Okay, so now we're on, and this is where Stephen's at 45, so this is a bit foreshortened, and we have a detail coming up right behind this to talk about Stephen's, but I'll defer that piece until we get to that detail sheet. But we made some changes to these tower elements, and we adjusted the depth of them. These are where those bay windows are. One of them is the lounge space for every residential floor has lounge space, and then here on the left, these are actual units. And these have eyebrows that wrap around this glazing unit. And then, as you see, this really ties everything together. At one point, these were actually projected or cantilevered over Stephen Street, and we've actually pulled them together so that we could unify this element. And then there's some, you know, some banding that says, hey, here's my base register, but also we want to tie this together and help this facade. All right, so let's talk about this. For us, this is probably our greatest takeaway from what we heard last time. And so what we've done is, I think we've made a fourth side to our building. We didn't have that before. This was the back of the building. And let me just walk you through that. So right here is the end of our service and move in, move out. And then what we have is a pedestrian corridor, a sidewalk, if you will. And this is the existing curb line. It's a roll down curb. And so what we've done is we've said, well, let's push our sidewalk up against the building. And then this elevation relates to the plan that you see here. So it gives you the ability to relate the two. So all along this facade here, we have glazing. And then where the road pinches, the sidewalk and the pedestrian experience widens. And that gives us the ability to add some landscaping. And this is where we've actually created our art wall. This is a blow up of the art wall. So again, what we're trying to do is take a respite place. And I even thought, maybe we should even have a bench here, under the trees or something. So that this will be a combination of historical photography, maybe some graphic reference to the street you're on, but then also these white spots will be where, if we talked about high school students having a place to demonstrate or display art, this is where this would happen at this location. And that's right at eye level. I mean, that's right here in front of you. So this is really, this is 30 feet, 40 feet long, and 8 feet high. And it will be really impressive along that street. And we're really protecting the pedestrian as it moves along because of this. We've extended the sidewalk in front of the drive lane so it becomes pedestrian first and vehicular. So basically traffic calming, if you think about it that way. And as you come around the corner, we've introduced more landscaping. And then we've chamfered the building at the first two levels so that pedestrians can move around towards 8th. And then what we're going to do is reclaim these and introduce those in. You can see them under this canopy element that we have here. So that's the other piece of this. All along this facade, with the exception of the art, because the trees provide shading, we have canopies now that introduce along that facade. And we think that's really going to provide a great benefit to this walking experience. And then lastly, we're not duplicating, but we are paying homage to this. The pilasters and the water table that's here, we've introduced a version of that. Again, this is in stucco, it's in a different color, but this idea that there are some moves here that says, oh yeah, that's similar to what the building had previously. We're gonna get into the references of our architecture to its context. This is one of our renderings. that's looking back at the building and the retail. Activating the streetscape on 4th Avenue. Again, this is our gateway, so we're coming right into the project. This is a tower forum that is our means of egress from the tower, from the amenity deck down onto the street. And then we have these four suites along here that are available for retailers to merchants, which we've talked about, making the effort to have these be local merchants in this area. This is a reference to our inspiration for this jewel wall. And there's two examples. This truly is, and Robbie and I talked about this, you actually know the folks that this was their home at one time. In the upper right, this welded wire mesh that's painted, and then these pieces of art that are just inserted into that. That was the inspiration for this. And then if you think just across the street and a little ways up, there's this great glazed piece of art that has light passing through it. So these two elements really spoke to us and why we created this band at the base. If you remember, one of the PAD comments or PAD minor amendments was at 60 feet, 8-foot moves. To get our garage to work, we had to keep this as a straight line, but just above that, we've honored the PAD goal of breaking down scale and massing and creating these vertical forms moving through the project. Solar study. Good point. We didn't have this previously. We did add this to our design and make sure that we understood what was happening to the project. So we have summer solstice, and then at the equinox, and then, of course, at about 6 weeks from now, of how the building behaves and how it interacts with its environment. I'll just move through these renderings. You've seen these before, but I think the changes that we've made, if I may, is that you can see this detail now. So this wrap that comes around and actually connects and takes these two and treats them in a different way. So rather than having this glass come right to the corner, we pulled the glass away so that we could have this move, this detail of ethos running up and capping the building. We've talked about the gateway of the art and bringing in, I think, Fred, you call it the belt buckle, this detail here, and making sure that whatever art goes on this wall, and this will be local street art that will work with the local art community. When you think about, Ben Zabels or somebody, where do we figure out how to get people that have passion about art and like, be kind and being a part of the community? How do we bring that to our project so we really become part of the community? And that's happening here in this gateway form. Again, you've seen this image before. The big difference is the shade structure that we've introduced into this outdoor amenity space. Much of the rest is the same. This is our pedestrian corridor going back. The bollards aren't in here, but imagine between these trees there would be bollards. And this is what's taking our residents back to their front door. The same time, activated corner. I mean, opening this building up to the outside will be wonderful. This is from 8th looking back towards our entrance. On the right, you'll see where the bike racks are. And just out of frame is where that green wall would be. A couple of aerial views. And you can see now that the shade structures are over this form. And we do have a tree canopy up here as well, and we talked about umbrellas there. You can see the green wall here on the right. And then this would be where the 75 public bike parking is. And then just here is those transformers that we spoke about. So we pulled the building. There's actual easement there, so the building wraps around that. Here's where you can see how we've detailed the building and made adjustments. We have, let's say, every three floors, we've brought in a line in the horizontal plane. And then we put this wrap around the building. And then you can see it here again on this building. So one facade has the darker tan tone, and then the other facade has the white tone, which is wrapped with the tan. Another view from the southeast, looking back towards the project. So now we're back from downtown, looking back towards the project, and you can see how I think this is a better view to really understand the articulation of the building versus the elevation, and how we've taken these bay windows and introduced these eyebrows onto the facade, and then also introduced and integrated it into the Stephen Street articulation. So we're using the same canopy detail that we used out on the retail on this side of the building as well. So So it's thematic. As you move around the building, it behaves like one building. It's not a primary and a secondary. And then lastly, here's our landscape plan, which, you know, doesn't necessarily reference the items we've made in Stevens, but at this point, I just have it here if you want to chat about it. I'm going to stop talking now. So please, if you look forward to hearing your comments and thoughts.
Board members, you want to have called the audience at this point? Okay. So, in a typical call to the audience, we're 3 minutes to speak. We cannot engage. That's not permitted by law. You cannot engage the presenters unless staff allows that. As far as I know, those both things are off limits. We can listen to you, we'll take notes, and perhaps Dean can respond later on in the next part of the presentation.
Great. We're here to listen.
Okay. So, who will be timekeeper?
We can do that.
Okay. So, anybody wants to speak, call the audience.
Can we ask questions?
We can't answer them, but you can.
That's fine. Well, maybe you can. Maybe you can ask the question if it's appropriate. You said you're gonna.
I cannot engage you.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I can write things down.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And if anyone would like to speak, if there's more than one person, feel free to just indicate that to staff. We can keep track of who would like to speak.
And please state your name.
Mm-hmm. Please state
your name. I'm with the Historic 4th Avenue Coalition. I own a business on 4th Avenue. Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N, Riggs, R-I-G-G-S. So these are kind of questions, but you know, they can't answer. So because of the minor amendment, the part of the traffic circulation now goes on Herbert mostly. The agreement, I believe, that was made with the Iron Marks neighborhood, you guys want to clarify that, is that it's supposed to exit mostly primarily onto 8th Street. The way that it's drawn, I don't see much encouragement for that. And as with the right hand only, it just would encourage people to take a left on a 9th and go right through the Iron Marks neighborhood. So that is kind of completely the opposite of what was decided upon when Iron Marks neighborhood did support but didn't go against the pad. So that's something that needs to be addressed with the neighborhood. And how are they going to encourage exiting onto 8th? The 15-month plan for the renting of the commercial spaces, I'd like to know what that plan is. And then if they're not rented after 15 months, what plan is there? It's a pretty short time. So even though they say they're these small spaces that are going to be local because they're small, there's only a 15-month sunset on that, and then they can do whatever they want. And they can knock it all down and get 4,500 square feet and rent it to whoever they want. Let's see. It's on they were losing 3 public parking spaces on 8th. So they provided 32, or losing 3. And the 32 are only for the people that are going to be coming to the retail there. And then the amenity deck, as far as they're going to need some kind of behavioral management plan for that, I would imagine. And if they decide to sell this building, how does that behavioral management plan get handed off? And there's going to be sound echoing directly into the Iron Marks neighborhood from that amenity deck. And I just a little bit concerned about the entrance that goes directly from 4th Avenue onto the amenity deck, which means that if you're a person visiting there, you don't even have to go to the apartment of the person that you're visiting and then come down to the amenity deck, but you're actually just going to get let in up onto the deck when the party's happening. I think that was a behavioral plan stuff, and I don't know how I'm at time right now. But last time I came to one of these for the union, it was pretty crazy at the end, and we didn't really know how we stood at the end of this thing. And I just would like to know clearly today what their requirements on them are, that who voted for what, and what the appeal process is, please, also, if there is one in place. So yeah, I just, it was super disappointing last time, so we need some clarity for sure, and something put out on the internet that tells us what the requirements were, because I still don't know what the requirements were for the union, to be completely honest. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon.
I'm the West University Neighborhood President and board member of the Historic Fourth Avenue Coalition. So if the Design Review Committee does not delay their decision to approve the Opus project today, the neighborhood and local businesses impacted by the project have no option but to appeal. It appears that the city has greenlighted this project, granting Opus every incentive and allowing Planning and Development Services to rubber stamp all revisions to the plan agreement as minor amendments. If this committee does not exercise its power to hold Opus accountable to the many problems it outlined in the courtesy review, and as well as some other points, we have no other choice but to, like I said, appeal. Making Herbert two-way and having cars exit onto 4th Avenue right at the underpass, which is already congested, is dangerous and shows little understanding of the current area, and also how would you enforce the right turn only anyway? Planning for less than 250 parking spaces for 700 plus bedrooms means excess cars will be parked all over the residential neighborhood, and not having Lyft or Uber spaces and expecting to buy city spaces already complicates the poor planning for parking. Lack of stormwater drainage is an obvious problem, but the bigger issue is flooding from fire suppression tests, power washing, or pool deck. Pool water backflow and the massive irrigation leaks that have haunted West University since the student towers at Main Gate have been built. The city hasn't come up for solutions to the massive dumping of filthy water onto our streets and should not allow new development until it has a handle of what we know is an enormous environmental problem. Finally, while the Opus architect stated at the courtesy review that he, quote, loves the wrap of the wall around the project and its, quote, abstractness, code requires more than just the proposed tiles to break up what is literally a gated complex. Fourth Avenue deserves better, and if our elected officials, city staff, and volunteers of this committee will not hold out-of-state developers accountable, developers who have indicated they have every intention of selling the property as soon as they build it, we concerned neighbors and merchants will have no choice but to appeal and attempt to delay the construction. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak?
I'll go.
Hi, I'm Lee Misovich. I live in Ironhorse, on 3rd Avenue. And I'm on board at Ironhorse neighborhood. And I was sort of part of the development of the PAD, at least. Tried to keep up on it. So I've got some concerns or some questions. The amenity deck on 4th Avenue, last I saw, the amenity deck was supposed to be in the back on top, very top of the tower, and now it's going to be right there on 4th Avenue, and it's going to just echo party noise into our neighborhood. I don't know, I couldn't tell by the drawings today, are there balconies facing 4th Avenue? My recollection was that balconies were supposed to be only on the upper levels, but also my recollection was this was supposed to be condominiums too, and it doesn't sound like that's exactly the way this project is headed. I don't know if the parking spaces are still the same as the PAD. We felt that was kind of minimal, and if that's been reduced, then that's a concern for parking in our neighborhood. The parking right now is tough as it is. People. And I don't know, I assume the ingress, egress to this project off of Stevens and out onto 8th, from 8th, out onto 8th is the same as the PAD. I don't know that that's true. We don't want, we've had some issues with going down, people driving down 9th Street, and more traffic down 9th Street is just going to create more problems. We had some artwork torn out because of somebody ran into it with their car. It's just more more traffic on 9th Street is just going to create problems for homeowners. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
I'm Matt Ismeyer. I'm on the board of Iron Horse too, and I really just wanted to reiterate the concern about the egress and change of that moving to the east side. That was not a part of the parking or traffic study that actually was completed for our neighborhood. At that time, the egress was on 8th, so that is definitely a concern, because that was not a part of the traffic study that was completed for our neighborhood. So I just wanted to get that.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Can we take the 5 minute break now? Yeah.
Yes, we can take a 5 minute break and we will.
You have to close.
Reconvene.
Pardon? You have to close that public speaker.
Well, we are closed for the 5 minutes and reconvene. And we take roll call when we come back. So.
And then you have to close.
No,
it's not a public hearing, it's just an agenda item.
Okay. Yeah, so we finished the agenda item. So.
That was good.
Okay.